Question. Are President Obama's policies good or bad for the economy? Well, right now on Vocal Point, we're going to talk with Steve Moore of FreedomWorks.org. And I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Steve, welcome back to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me again, Jerry.
Sure. You wrote an excellent piece recently. Well, all your pieces are excellent. But you basically analyze the economy, and you're basically saying, look, the recovery is not what it should be. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's too big of a surprise to anybody, really. I mean, this has been a very anemic recovery. It's been the worst recovery from a recession since the Great Depression. So when Barack Obama runs around the country, it tells people how wonderful things are and how thankful they should be. Most Americans think again. I think that if you look at the basic statistics, we're about 6 million jobs behind where we should be. The real unemployment rate is 10%. We have still 40 million people on food stamps. Now, that's a disgrace. We have 95 million Americans over the age of 16 that are not in the workforce. All of these things point to a dysfunctional economy that is slipping into even slower growth, because we're now growing at 1% where we're growing at 2% in the last 5 years.
Is part of the problem the regulation, over-regulation, for example, of the coal industry or things like that?
I think regulation is maybe the most important deterrent to strong growth. I mean, Barack Obama has put in the agencies of government, whether it's the FDA or the Occupational Safety and Agency, or whether it's the EPA or any of these agencies, they are all anti-business zealots, and they act as if their role in life is to try to put businesses out of business, not help them grow. You wouldn't see China or India or Japan or Germany doing that to their own businesses, but that's what we do here in the United States. And it's one of the things that's really causing businesses to go into a kind of cocoon, and they're in the fetal position. They're unwilling to invest now because they feel the government's coming after them.
Hmm. Well, I want to quote from your piece, your recent piece. It said, when I recently attended a meeting of the Trump Leadership Council in New York with major employers of how Washington regulations and mandates are suffocating their businesses, their message to Donald Trump was, please get government off of our back. Tell us about that whole summit and give us more details about that, the results.
Well, it was a bunch of, as I said, CEOs and people from the banking industry and the energy industry and people from manufacturing companies. And, you know, these are men and women who run great companies in America. And they almost all said the same thing. Yeah, taxes are a big problem. We got to fix our tax system. But they said the even bigger problem right now is they feel that these regulations are just killing their businesses. And of course, you know, the gentleman who spoke from the coal industry just told heartbreaking stories of how Barack Obama, who's supposed to be some kind of champion of the working class, has put tens of thousands of coal miners out of business, and these coal companies are going bankrupt right now. And it's sad to see these are middle-class jobs that are being destroyed by government regulation.
And to put this in context, isn't it true that the coal industry has made a lot of strides to clean up a lot of the pollution that were problems in the past, but it's not the same today?
Well, that's a really good point. I mean, if you look at the emissions from coal plants and from coal mining today versus, say, 50 years ago, the amazing thing is how much these coal plants have been cleaned up. So in many cases, Jerry, the emissions are down by 50, 60, 70, even 80% over where they were, you know, in the early 1970s. So clean coal is here. We have the cleanest coal in the world. And when we shut down our coal plants, by the way, that doesn't, you know, reduce pollution, and it doesn't reduce, greenhouse gases. It just changes the location of where the coal is produced. So instead of being produced in West Virginia or Virginia or our home state of Illinois or, Pennsylvania, the coal is produced in China, or it's produced in India and all these third world countries that are much more,
polluting.
Coal is much dirtier than the coal that we produce.
Isn't that is such a fascinating point. We're talking right now with Steve Moore with FreedomWorks.org. I'll put a link to your particular piece. In fact, you called it Obamanomics, R.I.P., Obamanomics, rest in peace. It's sort of like you're just biting your tongue for the next few months to end, you know?
Well, Americans are just angry. You know, we just haven't seen any kind of recovery that's helped the middle class. You know, one of the ironies of the Obama recovery, which he, you know, trumpets so much, is that, you know, it has been a good recovery for people at the top. You know, people in the top 10% have done pretty well if you invest in the stock market and so on. But people who are in the middle class and the lower income groups, they've actually suffered declines. So, wow. You know, that's ironic, isn't it, Jerry? Because all Barack Obama ever talks about is, you know, the income divisions in this country and the income divide. And they've actually, Obama's made them wider than they've ever been before.
It's almost like the phrase Obama recovery is an oxymoron.
Well put. I mean, it is recovery, but it's so meager, and it's only touched less than half of the population. So I think that's a good point. That, and it explains, by the way, why if you look at the polls, you know, 65% of Americans think America's on the wrong track. If you look at the situation with employment, people are very concerned about losing their jobs. They're very concerned about the fact that their wages haven't risen now and 15 years, so even under Bush and Obama, we've just seen a kind of stagnation for the middle class. And, you know, most middle class families now have savings of less than $5,000 or $10,000. So if the economy stalls out or we get another recession, what resources will they draw on?
Well, now, Mrs. Clinton seems to promise more of the same as far as Obama, whereas Donald Trump, for all of his faults or whatever, is saying, hey, let's go a new route.
That's for sure. You know, in fact, you know, Hillary Clinton gave her speech this week just attacking Trump and, you know, saying he'd be terrible for the economy. I got a big one of her, I thought, was a great laugh line. I don't think she meant it to be a laugh line. She said, we can't elect Donald Trump. He's going to send the debt through the roof. I said, wow. You were for Barack Obama, who more than doubled the, basically doubled the national debt in 8 years. And you're saying Donald Trump is dangerous? And then she said, you know, America's a country that pays its bills. Well, we haven't paid our bills under Barack Obama. So there were a lot of ironies in that speech. But, you know, her whole agenda for getting the economy moving is, you know, more shovel-ready projects, tax increases on the rich, and doubling down on Obamacare and, you know, and minimum wage. And if Hillary were here right now, I'd say, you know, Mrs. Clinton, with all due respect, we've just done all those things, and it has created this lousy recovery. What makes you think that Americans are stupid enough to fall for that again?
Wow, good point. Okay, how does Obamacare impact the economy?
Well, that's a good question, too, because most people know that it's been pretty bad for their health care, you know, that people are facing higher premiums. A lot of people are losing their health insurance and so on. But the big cost to the economy of Obamacare is in terms of employment. So businesses are cutting back on employment to avoid having to pay these high costs of Obamacare. And so, you know, a lot of firms are capping their employment at, you know, between 45 and 50 workers so they don't go over that 50 worker threshold where they have to pay all the mandates for Obamacare. And the other thing we see is, you know, because the law says if you hire somebody over 30 hours a week, you have to pay them Obamacare benefits. A lot of firms are now hiring only people part-time, like 20 to 25 hours a week, to get around that mandate. And, you know, Jerry, try to raise your family and pay your bills at the kitchen table if you're only working 20 hours a week. It just doesn't work.
No, it really doesn't. Now, one of your messages is, look, the Republicans, especially in the House and Senate, they need to really start taking a proactive role here in getting back to good policies like John F. Kennedy-type solutions or Ronald Reagan solutions, you know, for example, pushing tax cuts because a rising tide lifts all boats, to quote Kennedy. I love that old quote. A rising tide lifts all boats. That makes so much sense.
Yep. It sure does. And, you know, I'm very annoyed now at the Republicans, too, because it seems like, to me, the last two or three weeks, all they're doing is attacking Donald Trump, you know, which is crazy. I have to say I'm an economic advisor to Mr. Trump, so I'm biased, but I do think he's got a very good economic program. And why are the Republicans attacking their own nominee? It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. If they want to attack someone, they should attack Hillary and Obama, because they're the ones who put us in this crisis in the first place. And if this continues, by the way, you have to wonder, look, I think Trump is going to win the race if he can get Republicans all behind him, because he's going to win millions of Democratic voters who are fed up with Obama and Hillary. But I'm very worried about that, and I don't understand the strategy. I mean, are Republicans trying to lose?
Good question. What about the Republicans in terms of regaining, or not regaining, but maintaining their lead in the Senate and maintaining their lead in the House?
Well, they're going to lose the Senate almost certainly if Donald Trump doesn't win.
So if he doesn't win. Okay.
If he loses, then they're probably going to lose the Senate almost for sure.
Wow.
And they could hold on to the Senate, but it's very, very unlikely. They need Trump to provide them with some tailwinds. By the way, if he does win, I think they almost certainly will hold the Senate. In the House, I mean, it seems unlikely to me that the American people are going to go back to Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. We tried that once, and that was a catastrophe.
Yeah. Okay, so recapping our top story, why is the recovery from this recession so bad? Why has it been just so slow?
Yeah, because everything Obama has done, with very few exceptions, I mean, let's go back the litany of things he did. First, we had the $850 billion debt bill that was supposed to create jobs, and it didn't create jobs, just debt.
The stimulus bill.
Then we had Obamacare. Then we had tax increases on the rich. Then we had minimum wage increases. Then we had the Fed, you know, printing trillions of dollars of cheap money. All of these things, you know, were supposed to get the economy moving, but instead they actually slowed down the economy because the government doesn't create jobs; it destroys jobs. And the to summarize what Ronald Reagan said so eloquently, government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem.
Yeah.
And that's more true today than it has ever been.
Yeah.
And that's why the economy has underperformed, because nothing that Obama has done has worked. You know, there's a natural healing process to an economy. It's true that when Barack Obama came into office, the economy was flat on its back. It was in horrible shape, no question about it. But, you know, if you just let things evolve, the economy will mend itself. And unfortunately, Obama's bleeding of the economy actually made the economy worse, not better, and it held back the recovery, in my opinion.
All right, let me ask you a question. When President Obama took office, the national debt was about $10 trillion or less than $10 trillion. Now it's about $19 trillion or so. He almost doubled it, or more than doubled it. The question is, where did all that money go?
Question, and I wish I can answer that question. I mean, you know, that's what a lot of us who are supposed to be the fiscal experts are scratching our heads like, where did all that money go? I mean, we do know a lot of it went into, these boondoggle programs like the $70 billion high-speed rail program in California and, you know, roads to and bridges to nowhere and all sorts of projects like that. And Solyndra, the bankrupt solar company, a lot of it went to massive increases in welfare payments. We saw 40 million people on food stamps in this country. This is supposed to be a recovery, and one out of eight Americans is receiving a government benefit to put food on their table. So a lot of it went to welfare. A lot of it went to kind of crony capitalism stuff. But the point is, where it didn't go, the better question is, where didn't it go? It didn't go towards creating jobs. And now we look back 8 years later, and all we have is this debt with nothing to show for it.
Yeah, you quote economist Larry Kudlow in your piece saying the Fed can print money, but it can't create jobs.
Right. It can print money, but it can't print jobs. And that's true. And there was a belief by these radical liberals that all we have to do is just have the Fed print more money, we're going to be rich. And as I say in my piece, you know, if that were the case, then the richest countries in the world would be Argentina, Mexico, and Bolivia, right? Because all they do is print money. Yeah, that hasn't made them rich, I don't think.
Very true. And we're basically out of time. I'll ask you, though, for a concluding thought. And I do want to say this before we close. And that is, you have an upcoming book by Regnery called Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. So that's something to look forward to. But, Stephen, how about a closing thought on the economy?
Well, I'll close on my book because actually the book has just come out. So it's not forthcoming.
Okay.
It's out there on the bookshelves. And it's about the energy revolution. And this is a good point to end on, that one of the areas where we can really improve jobs and our economic growth is by producing our American energy, our coal and our oil and gas, which we have a superabundance of. The liberals like Hillary Clinton and Obama want to keep it in the ground and not use it. Donald Trump says, let's use our resources, let's reduce our budget deficit, our trade deficit, create millions of jobs, and reduce terrorism by producing American energy, not buying energy from the Middle East.
Excellent. And how about your website?
Website, heritage.org, has all my stuff. And
great.
Jerry, very much appreciate the time and for what you do for our country as well.
Well, thank you, Steve. All the best. Okay, bye-bye now.